ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Amanda Nunes! Big combination!
It's in! It's in! It's over!
Just like that!
Wow! She lit Ronda up like a Christmas tree.
That was the last time we saw Ronda Rousey in a professional MMA bout. It was only her second career loss, but it was enough for the Hall of Fame fighter to step away from the sport. This weekend, she returns to the ring for a bout with Gina Carano to be streamed live on Netflix. Rousey was not in a good place when she left the UFC, struggling with burnout, depression, and a history of concussion. It's those battles that have brought her back to the octagon, or as it will be in LA this weekend, the hexagon. Ronda Rousey is reclaiming her love of the fight, and we want to talk to her about it. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Ronda Rousey is an Olympic medalist in judo, a former UFC bantamweight champion, and a two-time WWE SmackDown champion, among other things. Ronda, you're coming out of retirement for an MMA bout with Gina Carano to be screened on Netflix in LA on May 16. Your last UFC fight was almost a decade ago. Why are you coming back?
I think this weirdly was the perfect time. I was 9 months pregnant when I got this bright idea, and I saw a video of Gina that after she got canceled, she was just really not healthy and not looking good. I'd seen that after Mike Tyson came back at nearly 60 and was the most viewed combat sport event headliner of all time.
Jake Paul, 12 of 53, 23%.
Oh my God,
Tyson coming out aggressively.
I knew that there was something that me and Gina had that would be huge. And the story between us, you know, like me 9 months pregnant, her where she was at, us like reclaiming our bodily identities, us both having a redemption story, and just the combination of us two being a dream fight and being able to rewrite our endings in the sport together. It just seemed like a no-brainer. And that this was the time that it was meant to happen. And it just started out as just that. And then it's kind of snowballed into being something that is changing the entire industry of MMA and has brought MMA to Netflix and has brought MVP into MMA. And we've created a card that is, a triple headliner that is stacked from top to bottom, a fight card that is really like my dream fight card that I was able to construct and be part of making as a partner with MVP and Netflix. So it's definitely snowballed into something much more than what I thought it would be.
You've been out of the game professionally for a little while, as I say, and in that time you've had two kids and, you know, you came up with this idea at 9 months pregnant. So do you still feel, I guess, the burning desire to get into the octagon or hexagon, as it will be in this case, and that desire to compete that you felt 10, 15 years ago, or is that something you've almost had to, like, switch on again in the lead up to this?
It was something that was off entirely until Gina switched it on, until that moment that I was suddenly like, this needs to happen again. And there were a couple of things that led into that. You know, I started like teaching judo and getting back on the mat again, but it was that moment that just ignited it in me. And I think that's what I was missing towards the end of my MMA career, is I just didn't want to be there anymore. And I was just dragging myself into the arena for other reasons outside of myself. And it was in that moment that I wanted to get back in there for me. And that's something that I feel like was stolen from me in a way, and that I finally got back. And this is like my chance to really change all of those prior associations and make this thing mine again.
How has it changed your approach to either preparing for the fight or the promotion of the fight, the fact that you're, as you say, like reclaiming this for yourself? Has it changed your approach at all?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think before it was just, everything was result-based and the experience be damned. And This time it's been all about the experience and making it the best experience possible, which has incidentally led me to the best results and the best output that I could possibly have. And I finally realized that I'd been going about it backwards all along. But better late than ever, I guess.
Is it a one-off, or can fans really start to get excited that you might fight? I know that you've said if this demands a trilogy, that there, if something happens in this fight that, demands a rematch between you and Gina, is that the only other fight that you'd, consider?
Yeah, that's it. I've had such beautiful babies, and I just need to have more if I can, and I just can't be taking any more detours. I have to get to business. So that's what we want to do and try to do as a family. And fingers crossed, hopefully it works out for us.
You've spoken previously about sort of not feeling welcome back at UFC events, and that you feel like, you'd be booed if you went back into that arena.
I feel like I'm really vilified by MMA media at this point, and I'm not really, welcome back, which is why I haven't gone to a UFC fight since, because I'm pretty sure if I walked into the arena, I'd be booed.
It's possibly not the best relationship between you and that organization. If you could go back 15 years to 2011 before you'd set foot in a UFC octagon, what would you tell yourself? Would you do it all again?
Oh yeah, and I wouldn't tell myself anything, because I needed to encounter everything that I did when I did, and learn what I did, how I did. And I'm very much, a believer that everything happens for a reason at the time it happens, exactly with the knowledge that you have. So I wouldn't want to be creating any butterfly effects and and altering anything.
How do you reflect on your time in the UFC, I guess more broadly? Do you have fond memories, or have they been somewhat soured?
I think they were soured just by I think the experience training. I like in the gym, I kind of, it was more of in hindsight, I was like kind of like a really toxic environment, and enjoying training was never a priority. And I think I was just chronically like overly trained and overly stressed out, and my experience should have been more of a priority. And so that's something that we're remedying this time, because I kind of hated that I would look back and just kind of feel like anxious, and tired. And I wanted to change that. And that's what a big motivator of like, you know what, I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna train and do everything my way, and exactly the way that I want to do it. I want the fight of my dreams. I want the camp of my dreams. And I'm gonna reclaim that love for that sport that I adore. And that's what I've been able to do with this.
As you say, you've been quite vocal about the way that the UFC treats their fighters, like, they're sort of almost the forgotten element of the whole show. And you're keen to get into the promoter side of things, and this card has been a really good example. You've set a $40,000 minimum pay for all fighters on this card at this event. If you were the Dana White of MMA, what would you be doing differently to what they're doing, considering also that making profits is still important?
That's the thing, Dana's no longer in charge, and I think he's gets a lot of the blame sh like sh shifted onto him when he got on him. He sold his ownership in the company. He works for the company. He works for the TKO group. He is contractually obligated to maximize shareholder value. And if he isn't doing that, if he isn't trying to extract as much money from the fighters as possible, then the shareholders can sue him. And so he's really in an impossible situation right now, and I do not envy him.
This is an Australian podcast, Rhonda, and the only time you've fought here was your first ever career loss in the UFC, and I'm sorry to bring that up.
Beautiful.
Again,
beautiful. She's
hurt.
That is in trouble.
She's hurt.
Hey,
oh!
Holly looking to finish.
He's out.
Holly Holm is the new UFC bantamweight champion of the world.
I wonder if you have any memories of that time, and do you remember how it felt going into it? And I guess, was there a realization after that fight that the end was maybe closer than you thought? It was your second last fight in that industry.
Well, I was just came off the Bezhkova fight, and I was so worn out and so tired and so looking forward to a break when Dana called me and asked me to step in as the headliner. And so I was really kind of forced to be in that fight card and sooner, you know, to fight again sooner than I wanted. I was really, really worn out. I'd been, you know, fighting more active than any champion, and been doing more press and more traveling. And, you know, I just honestly just didn't want to be there. I was getting like the pressure to sell out, you know, Etihad Stadium, and the biggest stadium in the Southern Hemisphere, and in a country that I wasn't from. And I was constantly having to go to Australia and back to promote it, whereas my opponent was able to sit comfortably at home giving radio interviews, you know, because no one wanted to talk to her. I was just so worn out. And I'd been, you know, dealing with these like neurological issues that were getting worse and worse. And I was really in, you know, denial about it. It just finally came to a head in that fight. And it was like suddenly something I couldn't ignore anymore. And I felt like my career was over, that I was done because of it. And luckily, when I came back for this fight, Dana sent me to the Cleveland Clinic to get checked out by, you know, some of the best neurologists in the world. And I was actually able to get a positive diagnosis for what I've been dealing with and medication. And it's really been life-changing for me. But at that time, I felt like, you know, that I wouldn't be able to fight anymore. And I was devastated.
Well, I'm sorry that that's been your experience of Australia.
Oh, I came back. I came back for WWE, and I performed in the exact same stadium. They put me in the exact same hotel room. Oh, yeah. I had my my return exactly the same way. It was almost comical how similar it was. It was actually an incredible experience. I had a great time.
Well, we're so glad to hear you have positive memories of Australia, and we hope to see you back on our shores at some point soon. All the best against Gina Carano on May 16th. Thanks so much for your time today, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Headlines. Six-time NBL MVP Bryce Cotton will make his long-awaited debut for the Australian Boomers after earning citizenship in September of last year. Cotton will suit up for the national side in the next window of the FIBA World Cup qualifiers, which will be held in July in Perth, where he played his first 9 seasons of NBL with the Wildcats. The Boomers will face Guam and the Philippines in those fixtures. Gold Coast Suns coach Damian Hardwick has defended the club's decision to allow team manager Mark Opie to continue in his role despite an ongoing investigation into links to bookmaker Oakbet.
You probably should book in with Mark Evans, the CEO. I'm a football coach. I'm here to talk about the game and what it means to the Northern Territory people. If you want to take it down that path, talk to the CEO that controls the business aspect of the game. Are we clear? Are we clear? Are we clear? Let's be clear.
I would say we're clear. Staying with the AFL, and they have released another section of the 2026 fixture, this time from round 16 to 22. There will be two more Friday night doubleheaders in this block, both featuring the West Coast Eagles, who have won 2 games to date. Curious. The final 2 rounds of the season are still a mystery. And former Wallabies coach and current Japan coach Eddie Jones has been suspended by his own board for incidents involving verbal abuse towards an official during an under-23s tour of Australia. The suspension will mean Jones can't coach Japan in their test against Italy in July, among other fixtures, across a 6-week period. He'll also be taking a pay cut. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Thanks to the UFC, Netflix, and the High Performance Podcast for the extra audio used in this episode.